I'd like to read firstly in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 5. So in these Bibles, it's page 1273. Page 1273. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. John, chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that has sent me has life eternal, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you that an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. For even as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is Son of Man. Wonder not at this, for an hour is coming, in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall go forth, those that have practiced good, to resurrection of life, and those that have done evil, to resurrection of judgment. And then just one final verse in Revelation chapter 20, page 1507 in these Bibles. Page 1507, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy, he who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of the Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 2 days ago, during the week, I went to a cemetery. As we know, a cemetery is a place where people who have died are buried in the ground. The reason I went there was because there was a member of this gathering, a local brother, David, who had died, and his spirit and soul had gone to be with the Lord Jesus, and we had the funeral for David, our brother. And I read that final verse that we read tonight in Revelation 20, and it brought home to me with great power how powerful these events are, how real these things are. Death is a very real thing, isn't it? It's not something that we think very much about, perhaps, when we are young. We don't like to think about that. We like to look ahead for our life. On the way over here in the minibus, one of the parents of some young people that came here many times told us that he has leukemia. And he's about the same age as me. How sad that is. How very serious condition that is. And yet every single one of us has got a condition that's much worse than leukemia. It's called sin. It's the disease of sin. Children sometimes ask when they're very young, why do people have to die? It's awful, isn't it? It's sad that people have to die. Two people who I knew and loved very well, very much, have died recently in the last few weeks. One is David, who we buried 2 days ago. The other is my father, Bernard. We were very much reminded of the power of death and the awfulness and reality of it. They both lived full lives and they both trusted in the Lord Jesus as their saviour, which makes all the difference. They both knew the reality of what the Lord Jesus is saying in these verses. But it's important for all of us to know the reality of that. It's important for every one of us, and that's why the gospel is preached tonight. The gospel is good news. There is no one in this room too young, and no one in this room too old for the gospel. There is no one in this room or in this world too bad and evil, or even too good, because none of us are good. We all deserve God's judgment. We all deserve God's punishment, and yet God is speaking to us once more tonight. We read in Hebrews chapter 1 this afternoon, and it talks about God speaking. Sometimes we need to be reminded to listen, don't we? Sometimes I need to be reminded to listen. I don't always listen when I'm being spoken to sometimes. We get distracted, don't we? There's an awful lot of noise in today's world, isn't there? I don't just mean noise, loud motorbikes going past. There's an awful lot of distraction and noise in many different ways. In the Old Testament, there was a man called Elijah who had to hear the still small voice of God. How wonderful to hear the voice of God speaking to us tonight. I used to hear about a teacher who had very difficult class to teach, and the way he used to make people quiet was by speaking in a very low voice. So they had to be quiet to hear what he was saying. I've never been a teacher, but I can understand that. But God speaks in a low voice sometimes. Sometimes people might even hear his voice. It's possible to hear his voice, literally and audibly. But most of the time, God speaks to us in a voice of a still small voice through the scriptures that are read, through the Bible. And God is speaking to every single one of us tonight. He's speaking to every one of us to tell us about our need of him. We have a need that nobody in the world can solve. We have a sickness greater than any doctor in the world can cure. We have a greater need that we understand fully. But the first step is realizing our need. It's that Jesus says here, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes him that has sent me has life eternal. David and every other believer, my dad, and every other believer that is living and has died has life eternal. Life eternal. How wonderful is that? That is something that you cannot get anywhere in the world. There is nowhere in the world that you can look. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. Money doesn't mean anything when it comes to the things of God. Money buys us a lot of things, but it doesn't buy us life eternal. There was a rich man that Jesus came to Jesus and said, having done what, should I inherit eternal life? And God knew that Jesus knew that his money was a problem for him. So he said, sell everything and give it all away. He was testing him out. But Jesus offers us life eternal. And those that receive life eternal, they receive life eternal because they hear the word that Jesus speaks to them. And they believe him that has sent me. They believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. And it says, I say to you that an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have heard shall live. The gospel is preached so that you might have faith. Some of the young people on the holiday camp were learning about people in the past who trusted God and had faith. Some of the great things that they did. Noah had faith in God and he trusted God and he built a boat and was saved from the flood that flooded the entire earth. Moses trusted God and was saved out of Egypt. There's a list of all these people in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. God wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to hear his voice tonight. And his voice is telling you that you need a saviour, dear friends. We need a saviour more than we can understand. We need a saviour from the effects of our sin and all the bad things that we've done that God has seen. God has seen every single thing that we've done. When Jesus was here, I often mention it, Jesus even knew what people were thinking. He could read their thoughts. If Jesus can read people's thoughts, he knows everything that we've done, doesn't he? He's seen and he knows every single thing that we've ever done or said or even thought. Isn't that an amazing thing if you think about it? Isn't that a fearsome thing if you think about it? God knows everything that we have ever done. He knows all the evil deeds, all the times that we've been disobedient to our parents, when we've been nasty to other people, when we've told lies, when we've done things that are displeasing to him. But it says As the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, went to Calvary's cross. He died the death that you and I deserve to die. A perfect, holy life was given up at Calvary's cross so that you might have a free and full salvation, so that you might have a way of being cleansed from your sins. Jesus died on the cross, dear friends, so that you and I might be forgiven. A perfect life was offered up so that our sinful life might be cleansed from sin, and that we might be able to be cleansed from sin and be ready to meet a holy and righteous God. Jesus died on Calvary's cross, dear friends, and paid that ultimate price for you and for me. That's why eternal life is possible. That's why eternal life is available for you and for me. In the hymn that we sang, it says, "Unsparing judgment in that dark, lone hour." Jesus lived a perfect, holy life. He lived a life that was without sin, a life that was without hatred, a life full of grace and truth and mercy. And yet he was taken and he was crucified and nailed to the cross, dear friends. The sacrifice that had been promised throughout many, many centuries. And God gave him, the Lord allowed himself to be taken, allowed himself to be crucified by wicked men and nailed to a cross. And he bore the punishment that rightfully is due to you and me. When Jesus said these words, "He that believes him that has sent me has life eternal," he knew that it would cost him his life. He knew that he would have to go to Calvary's cross to pay the price for you and for me. He knew that he would have to pay that price in blood, dear friends. When Jesus was on the cross, there were 3 hours of awful darkness. 3 hours of darkness during which God punished him for the sins of the world. God punished him for the sins that we have committed, so that you and I, no matter how old or young we are, by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying sorry to God for our sins and putting faith in him, this day in 2023 could be washed clean from all of our sins. Washed clean from everything that we've done and be ready to stand before a holy and a righteous God. That, dear friends, is the wonderful news of the gospel. The wonderful news is that no matter who we are and what we've done, we can have life eternal. It says in verse 27 that Jesus has been given the authority to execute judgments. One day God will judge the earth. He will judge everything that's been done on the earth. And that's a warning, isn't it? That's a fearsome warning. We know that justice is the right thing that should be done, don't we? If wicked things are done on the earth, or if things are something stolen, or some crime has been committed, then we expect that the judge and the authorities are going to deal with it properly. That doesn't always happen in man's world, does it? It happens in God. God is going to be a righteous judge who's going to judge everything that's ever been done. Dear friends, it's only those who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Have you come to the foot of the cross and repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in what he has done? Have you seen him dying there for you? Have you put your faith in him, just like all those Old Testament Christians, like we were learning about, they were learning about recently, Noah, Moses, all those Old Testament believers who believed God? Have you put your faith and trust in him and been washed clean from all the bad things that you've done? In verse 28, Jesus says, "Wonder not at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs, in the graves, shall hear his voice." I was thinking about that especially when I went to the cemetery the other day. We buried the body of David, our dear brother in the Lord. And I thought about the fact that in every single tomb that there is in that cemetery and all across the world, those that are died in the sea, wherever people have died, even if they've been cremated, every single person will hear his voice. What an incredible thing that is. It was the voice that created the worlds. In Hebrews it tells us by whom he made the worlds. God created the worlds by speaking a command. He spoke and it was done. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And shall go forth, those that have practiced good, to resurrection of life. How can we practice good? We're all sinners. We practice good by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and get washed clean from our sins. And God looks upon us as good because we've been clothed with the goodness of Jesus. God wants to give us a robe. He wants to give us new clothes of righteousness. How wonderful that is. We all like getting new clothes, don't we? Something new and fresh to wear, something that we like wearing. God wants to give us a robe of righteousness, as though we have been covered by the righteousness of Jesus. God is delighted with Jesus, the only person who has ever lived a perfect, spotless, holy, beautiful life on earth. Only him has ever lived a life that is perfectly pleasing to God and died a death that's pleasing to God. When we put our trust in Jesus, he clothes us in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful gift that is. That, dear friends, is the way to be part of the resurrection of life. David and my father and every other believer in the Lord Jesus died in faith, knowing that they're going to be raised to the resurrection of life. There's two resurrections. You might hear people say today, they often do, don't they? Death is just the end. I think many people know deep down that's not true. But the Bible tells us that's not true. After it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. There is going to be a resurrection, dear friends. And for the believer, that is a time and a thing of great joy. We sorrow at the death of a believer. We're very sad when someone dies, obviously. We're very sad to lose that person. We're very sad that they won't be in our lives anymore. We're sad that we won't see them in this life anymore. We'll miss them very much. But we don't sorrow as those without hope. How awful to sorrow as those without hope. But the believer is going to waiting for the first resurrection. And that's why I'm preaching the gospel tonight, dear friends, so that you might be part of the first resurrection. How blessed, how wonderful to be part of the first resurrection. And then there's a second resurrection, those that have done evil to resurrection of judgments. Those are people who have not been forgiven by God. Those are people who will have to account to God for the evil things that they've done. The bad things that they've done are still on their records. And they will have to appear before God to the great white throne. That means to be judged by God and cast into hell forever. How awful that is. But God is a righteous God. He righteously punishes and he has to punish sin. But dear friends, Jesus is offered to you tonight so that you might be part of the first resurrection. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, "Blessed and holy he who has part in the first resurrection." When it says that someone is blessed, it means that they are very, very happy, very, very much blessed. They are. It's a wonderful thing for them. The gospel is preached so that you might receive the wonderful blessing, the wonderful thing of being part of the first resurrection. The gospel is preached so that you might be sure that when Jesus comes again, whether we are living or dead, we will be with him. Because he has broken the power of death. He's broken the power of sin. He's broken the power of death for all those who put their trust in him. And it says over these, The second death has no power. The second death is God's punishment in hell for all eternity. There are two deaths. The first death is the one of the body. The second death is the separation from God forever. The second death has no power over the believer. That's good news, isn't it, dear friends? How wonderful to know in our hearts, in our lives, that we are safe from the second death and that we will be part of the first resurrection. How do we know Jesus has the power to raise us from the dead? Because he's done it already. He did it many times. He did it through a man called Lazarus. How happy Mary and Martha, the two sisters of Lazarus, must have been when they had their brother back again after he had died. How happy the believers were, the followers of Jesus were, when they saw Jesus alive again. He appeared to Mary in the garden. Jesus raised himself. He will raise all those who have put their trust in him for the first resurrection. How wonderful to know that in our hearts, that we walk with him every day. We thank him for what he's done, and we're obedient to his words, and we follow him with assurance, knowing that he will soon come for all his people. May we all have an assurance of faith. May we all know that we will be part of that first resurrection by putting our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross. God's hand is outstretched to bless. That was one of my dad's favourite hymns. We're going to sing it in a couple of weeks' time as well. God's hands are outstretched to bless. That is the God that we preach. Not a God of anger and judgment. Not a God of hatred. But a God of blessing. He wants to bless you, dear friends. And that is offered tonight. Free and full salvation. So that you can be part of that beautiful, glorious, blessed resurrection. The first resurrection. There can be nothing greater than knowing that you will be in the first resurrection along with every other believer. The Lord will shout from heaven. Not every Christian will have died. Some Christians will still be alive. But it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. All those who have died believing in Jesus will rise first. And then we, the living, that's every other Christian, will be caught up together with them in the air. What a beautiful, wonderful hope that is before every true believer, everyone who has truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. May every single one of us be there, for his name's sake.